Today's daf is daf Nun Hey. We're holding at the bottom of Nun Dalet Amud Beis. And what we've been doing is going through all of the various places in the Mishnah where the mention of a particular animal, such as Shor, Chamor, or just Behemah, actually is seen to include everything, including even Ofot. And how we come to this conclusion, we went through each case individually. When it came to all types of issues, Prishas, Arsinai, Bor, Kefel, Ashavas, Aveda, Te'ina, Prika, Chasima, Shabbos, Kelayim, and so on, everything ended up actually being expansive, except for the relationship of Adam to Kelayim, where we specifically were Remayet Adam. The only combination of Adam and Behema that was Aser was where it came to Minucha. Over there, all things have to rest on Shabbat. But anyway, that entire drasha was based on a fascinating klal pradu klal that combined, at least that's how we started, that combined the luchot rishonim with the luchot achronim. It took Parshat Yitro and Parshat Etchanan, threw them together, and then made a drasha of the two together, which leads to the next piece of Gemara, which is not directly related to the issues of the Mishnah, but is a question about the nature of what's written in Yitro as opposed to what's written in Ve'etchanan. So we're up to one line up from the bottom of the daf. Sha'al Rabbi Chanina ben Agil et Rabbi Chia bar Abba. Why is it? Mipnei ma b'dibrot harishonot lo ne'emar behem tov. Very strange that in the first dibrot, it does not say l'man yitav lach by kibud av ve'em. It only talks about the harach yamim. But in Ve'et Chanan, v'dibrot achronot, ne'emar behem tov. There it says l'man yitav lach. Why is the tova left out of the first luchot? So he answered, Amar lo, well, you're jumping to the conclusions, my friend. Acha ata sho'aleni lama ne'emar behem tov, sho'aleni im ne'emar behem tov, im lav. Sha'ani eini yodea im ne'emar behem tov, im lav. First of all, I'm not convinced of what you're saying. You're saying that tov wasn't mentioned. Now that implies that what you're saying is that what's written in Yitro and what's written in Ve'etchanan are records of two completely different dibrot. I mean, that's not necessarily implied in the pasuk. You're jumping to conclusions, since the dibrot that survive, our dibrot, were the dibrot in Ve'etchanan. It may well be that that isn't the case, and that there's things between the lines that are in the luchot that aren't necessarily mentioned, and there may be very good reasons for them not being mentioned in that context. And it's a contextual issue and not a dibrot issue. But I'm not sure about that. In any event, you know what you could do? Go to Reb Tamchum bar Chaniloi. By the way, there are people who think that this means, in my opinion rather absurdly, that he wasn't sure about what it said in the pasuk. So he didn't bother looking it up. And he said, well, I'm not really sure, but maybe you should ask. I mean, I think, a little bit weird. But in any event, there are serious people who sort of say, well, I guess, you know, it's like nowadays. They didn't bother looking at the Chumash, you know.
It's
Sifrei
Torah by the moment.
Sorry?
They had Sifrei Torah by the moment.
Yeah, if you're assuming that the Sefer means Sifrei Torah all the time. Okay, in any event, I believe that that's very good Pirish. Reb Reuven Margoliot has a long analysis of the sugi about the various possible meanings. There's a Groh that interprets the whole things in terms of the difference between brachas of Eilam Hazeh, brachas of Eilam Haba, all types of fascinating discussions. In any event, he recognized that this was a she'ela v'gadata, no matter what level it says. He didn't consider himself to be a baki. Go to Reb Tamchum bar Chaniloi. He used to learn by Reb Yehoshua ben Levi, where you could get answers to those kind of questions. Azel legabe, so he went to him and apparently had told him the story that he was sent there because he was a Talmud of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. He said, well, actually, I didn't really hear anything from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, but I do have a teretz for you. But I learned it from Shmuel bar Nachum. So, Elakach Amar li Shmuel bar Nachum, who was the Achimo, he was an uncle to Rabbi Ach of Rabbi Chanina, or some say he was a grandfather, maternal grandfather of Imo of Rabbi Ach of Rabbi Chanina. But anyway, what he said was, that ho'il v'sofan lehishtaber, since the luchot were going to be broken, therefore we wanted to leave out the tov. What kind of explanation is that? I mean, how is that relevant to what's written in the description of the Luchot. I mean, either it did say it or it didn't say it. No, because Amar Ashi Chas V'Shalom, Paska Tova Mi Yisrael, if the remez in the Brit with HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Tova is in Kibud Av V'Em, and that would have been broken in the first instruction, the first Luchot, then the implication would have been that there was a direct attack on the ability to have Tov for Yisrael. That would have been terrible. And therefore, the Torah, knowing that it was to be broken, didn't want to report on the Teva as if it was broken. Well, Rabbi Yoshua, and this is a fascinating Gemara because it relates to the idea of why we would have thought that Paska Tova. Rabbi Yoshua says, if you're roe tet b'chalomo, you see the letter tet in a dream, that's a siman yafalo, it's a good sign for you. Why is that? My tov. I mean, is that because tet, we assume, stands for tov? I mean, I can think of a lot of horrible things that tet stands for. I mean, it might stand for v'ta'atia b'ma'atatei ha'shmei, which is wipe away klal Yisrael, the broom of destruction. I mean, who's to say it stands for tov? Well, I'm talking about, I mean, one tet. I mean, what's this all? Tatia is full of tets. I mean, we're talking about a tet, man. Okay, fine. So maybe it stands for Tumata V'Shulea. So it stands for the fact that everybody recognizes the Klal Yisrael L'Chataim.
What's the immediate association with
tet? Well, I guess he didn't mean seeing tet. He meant seeing a tet and a bait. Tet and a bait? That could also mean Tavu Ba'aret Sha'areha, that the walls of the Beit HaMikdash fell into the earth when the Oyvim were coming and opened up the way for the attack on the Beit HaMikdash. Well, I don't understand. What kind of crazy thing is that? Well, you pick a letter that could mean anything. It's even Tavu. It's nonsense. Now here is the idea. The first time the letter Tav, the Tet, appears in the Torah is the word Tov. So, Ha'ol Patach Ba'akatul Tovat Techila. If you take a look in Bereshit, from Bereshit until the words Vayar Logim et Ha'or Ki Tov, you don't find a single tet. There's a lot of letters there, but tet doesn't show up. So since the Torah, the first time the tet appears is Tov, that means that it's giving you the Makor and the Torah for Tov. So if in the Luchot, the Makor of Tov would be L'man Yitav Lach, we can't risk to be posek that Tov. Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, once we're already on the topic of dreams, Haroeh Hesped b'chalamo. Somebody sees the word Hesped in a dream. That's a sign that there was supposed to be a Hesped on him, but he missed it. So Chasu alav min ha-shamayi. He was going to die, and people were preparing the Hesped. You know, the newspapers have all the obits already, you know. So, but they were paid to him in ha-shamayi, and he made it so he should know. But hanimilid b'chtava, this is only if you see the word Hesped. Not if you actually see a Hesped. Be any aspect. Okay, anyway, getting back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that we said before by the elements of Kilayim and so on that this includes birds too, right? Chayav Ha'Of, which is talking about all of the various cases in the Mishnah, which was even including Kilayim. So we talked about Kefel and we talked about Aveda, Tina, Prika, so on. So here it says birds are the same. Now you remember that a lot of the Drashot, we needed to know why birds would be the same, since mammals should imply at least something in common with mammals, which is tumatim velot, which you don't have by birds, b'mago b'matz. Okay, so in each case we found a reason why we weren't darshaning kalal prat, we were darshaning ribuyim, but in any event we come up with the idea that in all cases, chayav ha'ofer included, in which case, says Rish Lakish, this would be the makor, this was how Rebbe taught us, that kam shana Rebbe, that kilayim is nogea, different ofot, by token of which, a tarnagol and a tavas and a pisyuni are being different minim, are kilayim zebeze. How does Uncle R translate pisyuni there? He just quotes Rashi, a different type of slav, which is fat.
A chicken, a peacock, and a partridge.
This sounds like Christmas. Yeah. All right. A partridge. Fine. So in any event, these different minim are kilayim. Well, I mean, is Rish Lakish really adding very much by pointing out these minim? I mean, you just want to tell us that there's a dinim of oaf? I mean, pshita. Amrav chaviva. No, you see, mishum deravu ba'adei adadei. So ma'adetim min chadhu. Kamashman. The point is that these birds will interchange whether it means actually genes or whether it means they'll raise each other's eggs, even though it's a different species. There's some disagreement. But in any event, I might have thought that they're considered to be one species. I mean, lamaise, if they can reproduce with each other, they should be one species. So it means they raise each other's eggs. It's a reasonable explanation. Horton hears a who? Yeah, exactly. That was clearly based on this Gemara. Let mili de la merumas b'oraita. Kamashmalan. Omer Shmuel. Now, you should know what's on the topic. An avaz habar, or kelayim zebizela. These are two different types of avazim. What is it? Avazim nowadays is what? Geese. Tavas is a peacock. Avaz. Okay, so here we're talking about ducks and wild ducks. It says Rabba Bar Rav Chana, that's ridiculous. I mean, what's the difference between these two so-called species? I mean, in my time, the high orich kuei, the high zutik, one has a longer beak and one has a shorter beak. What, that type of taxonomic thing is sufficient to create a different species vis-a-vis kilayim? I mean, if you're going to say that, then you're not allowed to mate a gamla parsa with a gamla taya. I mean, a Persian camel with an Arabian camel, or they'd look different. May olim koi vai cotton kue. Of course, here kue doesn't mean beaks because camels don't have them. But it's in this case, it means the neck. In the previous case, it meant the beak. But in any event, I mean, if we're looking at little pieces of anatomy like that for taxonomy, these things can reproduce with each other. I mean, I would assume. What's the big difference between them? Are you also going to say that that's considered to be kelayim? It's not true. We have a very significant difference in the two families of ducks. One of them, the male, has its testicles visible. So zeh beitzav mibachutz, v'zeh beitzav mibifim. Now that is not just a question of a bigger or smaller beak. It's clearly differences in the whole reproductive system, which undoubtedly leads to major, major differences in reproduction, and actually is two different species. Rav Papa says, well, you want to take a look at the reproduction of two species. Their reproductive strategies are also entirely different. Forget about their genitals. Tremendous difference between them. One of them has, the Avaz Bar, will lay only one egg at a time and wait until it sees that egg hatches before it'll develop another egg. That's a completely different approach than having a vast number of eggs sitting hoping one of them survives. So that's really two very, very different species. Omer b'yirmi omer ish lakish. Harmarbia shnei minim shebiyam loke. If you mate two different species of sea creatures, you're loke. Now Tosis brings that there are those who wanted to change the girsa here to read not that you mate them, but rather that you draw something with them. So in other words, you're having them pull a boat for you. You know, those classic cartoons where the fish are all hooked up to the boat and pulling the boat and so on. But Tosfos, and the reason that he does this is because it says that there is no yisur of kilayim on fish. But Tosfos points out that obviously you can't properly mate things that don't have external genitalia. How are you going to mate them? So therefore, what the Gemara was referring to when it says you can't mate fish, that's fish. We're talking about mammals in the yam. We call them over here, minim shebiyam, but that obviously includes mammals. I mean, where you do have genitalia that become visible during mating, and therefore you would be able to actually mate them. And therefore, this is mikayim, the girsa as it is. So you cannot mate two different species from the yam. Okay? Yeah, exactly. My time up. Where do we get the idea that Mineu is a limitation on Kilayim here too? Amr Abada Barava, Tosef says, what do you mean? Well, I thought we just use Shabbos to teach us everything. Right? And Tosef says that we wouldn't be able to learn that from Shabbos because V'chol Behemtecha in the context of Shabbos clearly means the kind of thing that people use for working. It really is rather uncommon to draw your wagon using a dolphin. So that would not be included under Shabbos. So where then is the makor for this? Well, the Torah uses the word limineu on all of these things, and it says immediately after, actually, that the Sharim, it says over there, v'yivra Elohim et ha'taninim ha'gdolim, and it says over there, limineihem. So if limineihem, in the issues of the Yabasha, refers to. There it says that. Be'ma leminach, hayat ha'aretz leminah. So if it says leminehu in those things, and we know that there the Torah specifically addresses shor v'chamor, so then we can learn out from that leminehu to this leminehu that there's an iser of kilayim. Boy Rechava, how about if you draw your wagon, not only using a dolphin, but you hook up a dolphin on one end, and you hook up a goat on the other end. So you're basically, you're a canal worker, you see. So you know they have those little, the little roads next to the canal where you draw the boats through until the water evens up and so on. And what you do is, you got a very effective system over there, so you got these sea mammals that will pull a boat, or even a big fish. A shibuta is a big fish. No, that's the case here. So you take a shibuta and you use it. You hook it up to the boat in the water, and outside of the water you have a goat to give you a little bit more control of things. And now you're pulling a boat with a sea creature and a land creature. So, I mean, what's the idea over there? Do we say that these liminehus represent two completely different sets of kilayim? And we understand that mi'amrin kiven de'izer lo nochit b'yam v'shibuta lo solik liyabasha. The context, the milieu of these creatures is completely different, as is the lamineum. And therefore, to talk about an absurd combination across sets is not included in the din of kilayim, perhaps. That's a reasonable question. Or do we say, but the bottom line is, if this guy's crazy enough to have worked it out, that it actually happens, so in physically crossing these sets, and so lamaisa, hashtam, yet kamanik. I mean, look, take a look at what the guy's doing. You can talk about theory, but he managed it. Matkifla, Ravina. I mean, according to what you're saying, you're suggesting that we can cross the line of sets. Okay, how about this case? You go up to the border of Eretz Yisrael, and you draw a line at the border. And you put a chita on one side of the border, and a seora on the other side of the border. So now you're crossing sets. You say, wow, you did it. It's within a centimeter of each other, so it should be kilayim. So you're going to say over there that chiber chita v'seora biyado, v'zera chita ba'aretz, v'seora b'chutz la'aretz. You're going to say that you're chayev, even though you didn't really plant kilayim in Eretz Yisrael where you're chayev? I mean, okay, what kind of crazy guy? That's not a good question. That's the reason that you're putter over there is because you cross sets. It's because one set is not included b'chlal in the Yitzhak Kalayim, it's chutz la'aretz. So there's no din. It doesn't have its own set of chiyuvim. It's just not part of it. Obviously, you're putter. So hatam, eretz, alone, is makom chiyuvah. There's a mitzvah tluya ba'aretz. Chutz la'aretz, lo makom chiyuvah. Over here, we just showed you that you're not allowed to mate, cross-mate, or cross-draw, lemineu b'yam. And you're not allowed to do that, lemineu b'yam asha. Now I'm asking, you've got two sets, both of which are chiyuvim. Can I cross the sets? The answer to that. So, chiyuvim, chiyuvim, hadron alachshor, shenagach et hapara. Hakones son ladir. That's funny, we were talking about shuarim until now. All of a sudden the tone has changed. We're now getting softer. We're going from shor to son. The reason for this, as we'll see, is because we're moving away from keren and we're getting to shein v'regel. The derech of son is to damage b'shein v'regel, not to damage b'keren. So, somebody puts his son into an enclosure, v'na'al b'faneh karaui, and he closes the door, normally, v'yatza v'izika, and it gets out, and damages. You're potter. But if lo na'al b'faneh karaui, v'yatza v'izika, you're chayef. Now this seems to be saying that a shmira chuta is fishing. Because karaui is just, as we said earlier, to stand up for a roof mitzuyan, everything is fine. Now this, of course, leads us to some questions about what about the previous sugya where we were dealing with Karen. Over there we had a four-way machloket. Is there a difference between a tam and mu'ed? Is both tam and mu'ed? And which direction is that difference? Is a tam and a mu'ed the same that in each of them shmirah chuta is sufficient, or is a tam and mu'ed the same in each of them you require the shmirah mu'lah? And then we even had the shita that there is no shmirah at all. Like, you got to kill it. It's a mu'ed. Okay. But in any event, here we're talking about Shein HaRegel. The Gemara is going to assume that Shein Verega being Muad Mitzilatan, the equivalent of Ashara Muad. We'll see whether that's a good assumption. Now, how about if it was Nifritza Balayla, or so the case over here would be that we assume that it got broken in a way that you weren't prepared for. It was a hurricane. So if it was Biyom, why would you be chayiv if you were Nova Fanakaroi? Because Biyom, we would assume that you heard about it, perhaps, so therefore you're responsible. Tosis wants to suggest that even if you know about it, if it's Nifritza Balayla, you're potter. Because we were not machayev you to try to find an escaped animal in the middle of the night with very little access to artificial lighting and so on. It seems to be an exercise in futility which is demanding more of a person than is reasonable demand considering the potential of results. And therefore, the mission is indeed telling you that even if you know about it and the alarm goes off, then you're not machayev to go out there and deal with it in the middle of the night. So that's a question. It entertains both possibilities. Oshapurtsua listim. Now other people go ahead. And they were attempting to steal it when the alarm went off and they run away, but meanwhile they left the door open and out runs the animal. And the animal gets out, Vyatsavi Zika, your potter, even though the listim broke down the door and then ran away when the alarm rang. They're still potter. But if they had actually held the animal and started to move it out and were running away when they heard the sirens, and then to drop the animal, meanwhile it gets away and it damages, then the listim would be chayav, because they already picked it up. And that's different. They moved it. They didn't just do a grum of yama that allowed the animal to get out. They took it out and put it in a position where it would damage. So then they'd be chayav.
They're encouraging the animals to leave, has to be a physical lifting, or they just say, shoot?
Oh, well, that could be, if that's mechamer. I mean, that would be a type of hotziyur. It doesn't mean necessarily...
Putzer is only for the listim.
But also?
Putzer is for the listim, the owner would be chayav.
No. The listim, the owner is for sure putzer. The shayla is, where would the listim be chayav? He nicha bechama. Now, if you put an animal in a position where it may have a door in front of it, but you leave it in the sun, which is going to drive it absolutely crazy. It's going to need to get out of there. And it'll smash down the door. He said, I mean, never smashed down the door before, really not. Well, did you leave it in a 47-degree heat? So in that case, you would be chayev. Or if you do a poor shmira by, let's say, being moser to chereshot v'katan, v'yatzavi zika, you'd also be chayev. And if you give it over to a professional ro'eh, masrala ro'eh, then the ro'eh becomes the balim, and he becomes chayev to pay for any damages. I will get to that in the Gemara, what particular type of arrangement and shmira are we talking about. How about if an animal falls into an adjacent garden? The nehenet. Now, besides damaging, we're assuming that nafla over here means it fell and could not, in order to avoid the tilatob b'kshia b'sofo ba'ones case. So the nafla would mean it was nafla from a place where it would not have been able to get down on its own and never would have gotten there if there hadn't been an accident, but it fell. So you're putter on the actual damages, but since it was nehenet and you saved money, as we discussed earlier, and the food that it was eating, you still pay at least that percentage of what it was nehenet, which may not be the actual value, but still you pay something. Yardakidakabi zikan, as Tosis points out later on, if it were possible for the animal to be yardakidakabi zika, then it didn't need to be yardakidakabi zika. Because then it would be tchilato b'pshiyah v'sof ba'ones. And indeed, that's how he understands the Mishnah. Yardar kedarka, meaning if it's the equivalent of yardar kedarka because there was a way down, so then he would be mishalem ma sheizika. Now, how do we actually define ma sheizika? Discussed this again briefly earlier. Ketzad mishalemet ma sheizika shamin beit sa'ah ba'otasadeh. Now look, we can't take the actual things because that's unfair. These things are now being damaged in a context. We learned that from the Pasuk earlier. Recall, we'll go through it again. So on the other hand, you have a gigantic sada that's 400 acres that you want to sell. And you say, okay, well, it's 400 acres minus two tomato plants. It's, you know, come off it. We're talking about a big sale here. So obviously you can't talk about 400 acres either. I mean, that's completely unfair. It means that there's no compensation whatsoever. So therefore, what we do is we take a sa'ah, which is the shear of a sadeh. So shamin beit sa'ah, bota sadeh. So we take a large enough area where we're not actually looking just at the value of this one furrow that it ate, but a small enough area that the furrow makes a difference. So kamaita yafa, how much was it worth before to sell? V'kami yafa now. There'd be Shimon Omer. That's only if the peirot themselves were not ready for marketing. But if the peirot were ready for marketing, achlat peirot gimurim, which could have been taken to market now, they're no longer growing, they do not require their attachment to the ground. So then mishalemet peirot gimurim. I don't care what it was that they that they ate. Sa'a, whatever it is, you pay not agav the sodeh, but rather you pay the entire hezeh. Tanu rabban. When you said in the Mishnah that if you close the door properly, your potter, if it gets out, what does properly mean? Well, if it could stand up to a typical wind in the area, so against whatever pressures would normally be brought against it, that's called karaui. The fact that it's not going to be able to be oimed in ruach she'ina mitsuya is irrelevant. If it can't even ina yichola la'amod beruach mitsuya, that on those rare occasions, but I mean, it happens often enough that the winds go up to 30 kilometers, 40 kilometers an hour, and that's going to collapse it. Zeh shelo karoi. Amar Rabbani bar Patish. Okay, so now you're telling me that a mu'ad is sagila b'shmira p'chuta. I mean, that shein a regular mu'ad mitchilatan. And we had the whole machloket before about a shor that was a mu'ad. I mean, albeit that's not like Karen, but I mean, assume that shor that's a mu'ad is the equivalent of its own when it comes to the shein v'regel. Same idea. And this Mishnah is telling you that a mu'ad is sufficient if it has a shmirah pechuta. Now, who is the author of that Mishnah? Well, it's obviously Rabbi Yehuda. Ditznan. Kashru ba'alav b'moseira. When we're talking about the shore over there, so he ties it with a rope. Runa alef anav karo'i. V'yatzav yizik. Echatam v'yachat mu'ad. Chayav div Rabbi Meir. It can't be Rabbi Meir because Rabbi Meir says that shmirah pechuta is insufficient for a mu'ad. Rabbi Yehuda Amir Tam Chayav Muad Patur. Rabbi Yehuda is the one who darshan for the pasuk shemar v'lo yishmerenu ba'alav. Therefore, it's coming to tell me since this is shamur, it's sufficient. So he must be the author then of the Mishnah, and not like Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Eliezer says, look, once you got a muad on your hand, ain't no shmirah ala sakin. The only thing that would part to you is shechting it. Says, no. That is just because they're both called concept of muad muad mitchilatan. Doesn't mean that Shane Varegel is the equivalent of Karen. I mean, please. Shane Varegel is different. I feel a tamer Rebbe Meir. It was a wrong assumption to think that when it comes to Shor, the only effective element is Tamar Mu'ad. That's not true. It's the type of Ezek of the Shor. Remember, the Shor is split into different issues. We have Karen, we have Shane Varegel. Shane Varegel are clearly different. Why? Because Atoram Niyata Bishmiratan. The Torah was less demanding of the chiyav of shmira when it comes to shein v'regel. Damar Rabbi Elazar, some say it's even a brayta. V'matnita tana arba'a devarim haTorah niyata b'shmiratan. There were actually four mazikim where the Torah allowed you to get away with less levels of shmira. Now I'm going to show you each one of them from a pasuk. V'eluhein bor v'eish shein v'regel. By the way, you will notice that we have moved back to Shor. Except that now we're talking about the dinim of Shmira. Now, Tosis is disturbed by the order of the Masechta. I mean, what happened over here? We did Shor in the beginning, and then we got into Bor, all this Bor business, and I mean, Niach, and beyond. Tons of stuff of Bor orientation. Now we're getting back to Shor. How did that happen? So, he actually has two very, very different approaches. One approach was is that Bor was an interruption. And the reason that we interrupted with Bor is because one of the cases of Shor was Nafal Bor of Yivish Meimav. Pretty schwach. But anyway, maybe, you know, so we got distracted. So Tosis's other suggestion is that the truth is we ought to separate the dinim of the Chiyuvim from the dinim of Shmira. The Shmira is a completely different topic. Now we've moved on to discuss levels of Shmira, which before we only brought in every once in a while. But the Shiloh over there would be, why is it that we didn't bring in Aish then? In other words, if you say that we ought to finish up the Mazik and then move on to the Shmira of the Mazik. So why have we moved on now to the Shmira and then we're going to have to get back to describing the Dinim of Aish? It's going to leave us with another problem. So here Tosis's reasoning is a lot more powerful. Because by bor, remember, we had in the Mishnah, kisohu kera'ui, that we discussed over there, because we needed to define what a bor is, since ki yiftach ish bor v'chi yichra ish bor, defines the nature of bor, not just the shmirah, you see. So that means once you're dealing with bor, the Torah has mixed up the inyanim of shmirah with the actual definition of mazik. Now that is a very powerful argument. So if we discuss the bor, memela we already moved on to shmirah because we were forced to. And then we'll get back to the other inyanim that are not shmirah oriented. Okay, so anyway, getting back to this, there are four things that the Torah was b'mayit b'shmirah, now in this parak of shmirah. And what are they? They're bor, eid, shein, and regel. Bor, dichtiv, why do we say the Torah was actually mekel? Because the Torah says, ki yiftach ishbor o ki yichre ishbor v'lo yichasenu. Now that's mashma, that if you're mechaseh the bor, that you would be potter. Now, Tosfos asks, well, maybe that means that you're mechaseh the bor with stainless steel or something, right? So Tosfos says from Rashi it's mashma, that Rashi holds anything less than a removal of the bor is not kara'ui. Because anything could happen. I mean, why don't you take away your mazik? He doesn't like that there. It's for obvious reasons. Therefore, he says, on the contrary, if you would put a stainless steel cover on the bor, then that's the full equivalent to taking away the bor. And therefore, there's no chiddush in it. I mean, what do you mean, below your chasenu? I mean, there's no longer a bor there. So what's there to be chayav on? Therefore, it's got to be referring to the type of, you know, standard kind of thing that would hold up to the normal things that you can assume are going to happen, which would be kara'ui. So that, by definition, that would be the pasuk. Okay, so hakisoh patur eish. Note the way that the Torah defines the chiyuv of eish. Shalem yeshalem hamavir et habeira. Now, wait. Hamavir is an awfully kind of rough word to use, because it's actually a way in which I am looked at as the direct cause of the fire. You're mavir, you're pushing that fire. You're pushing that fire. That means ada avid ke'in mavir. You would have to actually be poshea to an extent that we could call you a pusher. That means real negligence. But anything that's a real negligence, you can't call him anymore mavir. Shein, because it says ubi'er b'stei acher. Now over there too. It says ubi'er b'stei acher. Tosu says, well, what does that prove? I mean, the ubi er b'stei acher. On the contrary, be er b'stei acher, we said on the beginning of the Masechta means that it was Ozlo Memela, we wrote a pasuk. Ah, says Tosfos, that's all very nice. But it should have said ubiara b'stei acher. So it says ubi er. It has a double meaning referring back to the Adam. So it's as if, and the Adam went foraging into the other field, which could only be that it's completely negligent. So anything less than complete negligence, indeed, would not be mechay of you. So adavit kein ubiyer, that's by shein. By rego, we also found vishilach. Adavit kein vishilach. That means that you sent it out. That is, you were on some level clearly to blame, as if you were involved actively. Now that implies true negligence. But anything less than true negligence, shmirah kara'ui keneged ruach metzuya, would be sufficient to potter you. And you will recall that v'tanya vishilach ze aregel. So in other words, the only reason you'd be chayev is time of it kein v'shilach ubi'er. So it's only because you're actively involved. Halo avid lo. Oh my rabba, says rabba, I mean, look, it's obvious that shein and regel is not the same as the muad of shor. Look in the Mishnah. Why do you think all of a sudden we switch to talking about sheep? I mean, because we're actually feeling very sheepish about this. We have finished our discussion of shor. That's the point. So matnitin nami deka diktani tzom. Now, look at every single case in the Masechta up until this point, and what were we talking about? Shor. No? So, michte. B'shor kaskinen va'ati. All along we've been talking about a shor. Now, all of a sudden, we're talking about a tzom. Nitne shor. If the din of a muad of shor is the equivalent of shein v'regel, so say shor. What do you got to change it for? Ma'ishna diktani tzom. Obviously, because it's because indeed there's less of a demand. Is it not because this whole description of the Vishilach and the Be'er and so on is nothing to do with Karen? It's only said in terms of Shein V'Regel, and therefore our Mishnah keeps the Shein V'Regel. V'kamashmalan, the shein v'regel, the mu'adim hu, shma mina, for them it's sufficient, but it may well be, that we're going like Rabbi Meir, and that Adarab, it's dafka shein v'regel, and indeed by Karen, this would not be sufficient, and it ties in beautifully. No, it includes both. Yeah, but not in, but the Shmira level is the same. They only do Shein V'regel. Tanya. Om Rebbe Yeshua. Arba'a devarim ha'oseh otam patum edinei adam v'chayab b'dinei shamayim. You know what? I think we'll leave this till tomorrow because it actually starts a whole sugya that goes on and on. So, spend another minute, it's not going to help us much. Shor Rebbe Chanina ben Agil et Rebbe Chia bar Abba. מפני מה בדיברות הראשונות לא נאמר בהם טוב, ובדיברות האחרונות נאמר בהם טוב? אמר לו, נו, עד שאתה שואליני למה נאמר בהם טוב, you can first find out whether אם נאמר בהם טוב אם לא, because I'll tell you, איני יודע אם נאמר בהם טוב אם לא. So, קלח אצל רבי תרחובך, אני לא אשר רגיל אצל רבי יהושע בן לוי, שהיה בקי בהגדה. עוד זה לגבי, אמר לו, well, the truth is I didn't learn it from him. אלא כך אומר לשמואל בר נחום, הוא זכי מוב רבחה ברבי חנינה, or some say it was אביה מאשר רבחה ברבי חנינה, הועיל וסופן להשתבר. So, וכי סופן להשתבר מי הווי. אומר רבשי, כזאת חס שום, that would be a simen, פסקה טובה מישראל. אומר רבי ישוע, רואה תת בחלום סימן יפה לו, מי תימה. אילא יהיה משום דכתיב טוב. I mean, how do you mean טוב? Maybe it means ותתיה במטתי השמי. I only said one tet, not three, four. Chat tet kamrina, okay? Tumata b'shulea, that's one tet, okay? Well, I really meant tet bait. Okay, tet bait. Tavu b'aret sharia. All right, so can we get back to the main idea is one tet. Ela, ha'yelu patachpo ha'katuv l'tova, techila, because mi breshit ad vayar lakim et ha'or, lo k'tiv tet. Bomre b'yishu ben levi, haro'e, the word has spayed b'chalomo. חסו עליו מן השמיים ופדאוהו, והנמילי בכתבה, וכן חיה ואוב כיוצא באמר שלוקש, וואו, כאן שנה רבי, תרנגול, טווס ופיסיוני, כליים זה בזה, which of course is not what רבי said, but in other words, given, it also points out, the Gemara often does this, given that you give us the information, I'll now apply it as if you said that directly. I mean, really, רבי wasn't talking about these meaning, naturally. Well, I mean, if that's all you're adding, Reish Lakish, then Pshita, I'm Rav Chaviva. No, because since Ravu Badi Adari Madatem in Minchadu Kamashmalan, Amar Shmuel Avaz VeAvaz Abar Kelaim Zeveze Matkiv Rabba Barav Chanan. I mean, my time, let me just die. Orich Kui, I Zutar Kui, Elamiata Gamla Parsa VeGamla Tayad, I Alim Kui, I Katin Kui, Hakin Amidavi Kelaim Zeveze, Elamar Abaya Ze Beitzav Mi Bakutz VeZe Beitzav Mi Vifnim. Rav Papa Amar, Hatu'una Choda Be'ata B'Shichla, Vatu'una Kama Be'ata B'Shichla. Here is the Makar, by the way, for Mesechet Be'ah, that they change, because Be'tzah, you'll notice, is used for testicle, and Be'ah, in this case, is used for the word for an egg. So, Memela, not to talk. Mesechet Be'tzah, it sounds like you're talking about testicle Mesechta. So they don't like saying that, so they change the word to Be'ata. But even though Lamaisa, obviously, just one mimer was in Aramaic and one mimer was in Lashon HaKodesh. Yeah. Okay, Memela. Be'ah is an egg, yeah. Somebody has one testicle.
It's not. It's like
yeah. Omer b'yomi omer eshlokish, amar b'ya, shnei minim shebayam loke, ma'itayim omer v'arabarav v'mishmeidu la'atya l'minei l'minei m'yabasha. Boy rechava, how about ha'manhig b'iza v'shibuta, ma'o? Mi'amrina kivin d'izu l'onachit b'yam v'shibuta l'asolak l'yabasha laf klum ka'avit? Odil ma'ashto mi'at komani? Matkid l'ravina l'yata, chiber chita v'sa'ora b'yado v'zara chita ba'aretz v'sa'ora b'chutzor, tzachin amin b'chayev. Oh, come on, man. What's the comparison? Achiyashta. Hatam eretz mokam chiyuva, chutzaretz mokam chiyuva at all. But here, idividi chiyuva hu. Adron aloch shor shenagachat hapara. Hakones tzon ledir, v'na'al b'fanei akara ui, v'yatza v'zika patur. Lo na'al b'fanei akara ui, v'yatza v'zika chayav. Nifritza b'laylo, shepatzu alistim, v'yatza v'zika patur. Hotzi u alistim, listim chayavim. Missing this piece. Rabbi Shimon Omer, it depends. If it's a chla perot gmurim, then mishalemet perot gmurim. Im sa time, and it's not measured against anything else. Tana rabbanan ezeo karo'i ve'ezeo shalo karo'i. Telet sheyichola lamod baruch mitzuya ezeo karo'i. Sheina yichola lamod baruch mitzuya ezeo shalo karo'i. Omer emani bar patish man tana mua desagila b'shmira p'chuta Rabbi Yehuda hititnan. Kashru ba'alav b'mosira v'na alef alav karo'i v'yatza v'izik. It can't be him. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Tam chayav u'mu'at patur." Shemav lo yishmer ba'alav, v'shamor u'zeh. Rabbi Eliezer says, "Ein lo shmirah l'sakin." Anyway, it's not true. Fila temer Rabbi Meir. Shaini shein v'regel da Torah miyata b'shmiratan. Di amar Rabbi Elazar amrila b'matit atana. Arba advarim haTorah miyata b'shmiratan ve'lo ein bor ve'eish shein v'regel. Bor dechtiv ki yiftach ishbor o ki yichre ishbor v'lo yichaseno. So you see, all you need to do is a kiso patur. Eish, dechtiv shalem yishalem ha-mavir et ha-be'ira. Ad avid ke'ein mavir, negligence. Shein, dechtiv u'bir b'stei acher. Ad avid ke'ein u'bir. Regel, dechtiv shilach. Ad avid ke'ein v'shilach. V'tani v'shilach zeh regel, v'chenem v'shach regel ashrav ha-chamor. U'bir zeh ha-shein, v'chenem v'kashivar ha-galal ha-tumo. Time ad avid ke'ein v'shilach, u'bir. So it's like almost active involvement. That's pure negligence. Hello, Avid Lo, Omar Rabba. I mean, didn't you see this in the Mishnah? But they did not be deka, the Klenik Tzon. I mean, think about it. Michle, b'shor kaskin v'ati. So just go on saying shor, if a shor muad is the same as Tzon. My shadik tani Tzon. Clearly, mishum dat Torah miyata b'shmiratan. I mean, is it because the Kan Karen lo k'tivaba? Shein v'regal hu t'kativab k'mashman. Shein v'regal. That type of muad, yes, shmamina, but not a muad of Karen. We're over there. Maybe Rabbi Meir would be correct.